Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 2nd, second day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff and source of some information, we all hope, Mike Downey.
Right. We'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, you look a little tanned.
Well, I was gone earlier in the month.
It wasn't Sunny Fortuna.
No, it wasn't Sunny Fortuna.
Okay, good deal. This is going to be an interesting show. It's going to be a little challenging show, but it's going to be an interesting show. Mike and the entire department was involved in a lot of the investigation with the death of Father Eric Fried that happened yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about some of the things that Mike is aware of, some of the stuff he can talk about. This one's going to be one of those reoccurring things as we got the city manager tomorrow. We'll get some further updates, and then Chief Andy will be in on Monday also providing information. So I don't know. This one's rocked a lot of folks, and we'll just kind of we'll take our time and wander our way through this one when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, selected by same sheriff, Emile Zola.
Yes.
Do you recognize his name, Damien?
I don't.
No, okay. So our Latino heritage guy here doesn't recognize him either. At least the top of his head is saying that. I can't see too much of his face at this point, but that's okay. Quote, the artist is nothing without the gift, but the gift is nothing without the work.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and speaking of work, I guess you guys, as difficult as yesterday was with Father Fried and his death, murder, I was saying death, was today as much a victory with the apprehension as quickly as it occurred?
Well, it's, you know, it's... You have to measure that by what victory is, I guess. You know, was it a victory? I think it's some closure, not total closure. How do you judge victory in something that is so despicable as this? I guess you could say it's a tragic, senseless type of a situation. You know, in law enforcement terms, yeah, it's a victory. It's we were able to apprehend a subject that's going to be charged with a crime, and our job now is to be Eureka PD, obviously, be to put together the best case they can so the DA can prosecute this individual.
What can you say did happen, Mike? I mean, we've had the press releases, we've had this and that's, but in regular guy talk, I know you weren't there unless you were there incognito last afternoon. Chief Mills came and he did his, you know, square correct corners, da-da-da-da-da. And then Frank Yeager steps in and says, okay, here we, and then he does the Eureka. We all know it's Father Fried. Right. Here's what happened. And Frank very much put a human touch onto the whole thing and a personal touch, even though he's of Sacred Heart rather than of St. Bernard. Regular guy. What happened?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of it's been put out in the press release, and there are some holdback information that they're keeping to be able to put their case together. It was an unfortunate incident. You know, I don't know why this individual allegedly did what he did. That's something that someone's have to get into his head and figure out. You know, I believe that Father Fried was probably showing him some human kindness at the at that moment, and something went terribly wrong. And again, it's senseless. It makes no, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You can't put a reason to it. But this individual did something that none of us want to think about. And you know, with that said, I don't know how what else you can say.
Now, your guys got the suspect
today. Yes.
Was it a hunt? Was it a chase? Was it
It was good old police work, basically, if you want to put it that way. You know, I mentioned to you earlier before we even went on air that when I was a sergeant in Garville, I dealt with this subject and his and family members down in Southern Humboldt. So it wasn't someone that was unknown to law enforcement once the information broke as to his identity. And we knew where his roots were. We knew his haunts, his hangouts, family. So it came down to, well, our sergeant down there, Sergeant Swithenbank, who has a long history and knowledge of the area, putting things together and actually getting to work and doing some digging, as we call it, and actually finding where he was. And we were able to then, you know, through a series of checks and balances, so to speak, you know, take him into custody.
Taken into custody rather than turning himself in.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the specifics on that. He definitely knew that he was being sought. So there may have been a little bit of both. I don't really have the specifics on how the mechanics of all that took place. But we definitely put the pressure on in the area. People knew that we were searching for someone and who we were searching for. So all that kind of plays into the final culmination of, as you put earlier, victory of in this case.
Something like this, does it rock the law enforcement community also?
Sure. I mean, this is a high-profile incident. We talk about someone of notoriety, someone who's there to help the community, who cares about the community, and is noted for that. I mean, well-known for that. And to have something like this happen... It does rock the law enforcement community.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, the situation with Father Fried, when did your department come into the activity? Were you guys brought in immediately? Was this a joint effort, or... After things kind of started settling a little bit, that's when they brought in the SO.
Well, it was definitely a Eureka Police Department investigation. What happened yesterday, I was notified in the morning of the incident. I immediately texted Chief Mills to see if he needed any assistance. He was very appreciative of my outreach and declined it at that time. The lieutenant that I have, who was on call for the week, my administrative lieutenant, who had the call, he actually got a call from EPD requesting some information on a case that was somewhat similar, not a homicide, but similar in some of the circumstances surrounding it. So he responded to the scene to give them some information, give their investigators some information. And while he was there, the question that he asked the chief and was very well put question, would you like our command van down here so you have a place to strategize and get together? So that was our first involvement. We got our command vehicle there. We helped them with any logistics they needed with that.
It's kind of like an office, mobile office.
Right, office has telecommunication capability and communication radios and that type of thing. So it gave them a mobile base to work out of. So that's where our first involvement came. And then as the day went on and realizing who the possible suspect was, we actually eventually assigned a detective to be a point of contact for our office. And we quickly became more involved as that solidified. So our involvement started early on yesterday, minimally, and then increased as the day went on and of course, today.
We've heard that there are an awful lot of other law enforcement entities, regional, state, national. Is that normal protocol, or because a priest was involved, because it's a high profile, does that take on any special connotation?
You mean as far as those that were involved in this investigation? The Department of Justice, I think, came in for forensic purposes to help with any investigation of the scene, to add some extra added expertise that might come about investigating such a crime. DA's office was brought in early on with an investigator, and that's standard protocol in any kind of critical incident type of a situation like this, is to bring in allied agencies that are going to be involved with the future prosecution of the crime, and obviously bringing on a DA investigator was at the top of the list so that they could have a working knowledge of the case itself and the dynamics of it, and then be able to help their prosecutor through the court proceedings that are yet to come.
As we are today, should the community take a sigh of relief, or should we be even getting more frustrated and agitated?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I'd hate to see a higher level of frustration and agitation on the part of the community, even though I know that there are many out there that feel that way, and I share that concern or that general feeling. A sigh of relief, maybe not so much. I think we're looking at a sign of times ahead. Not that we're going to have more homicides such as this, but that. We need to be more aware of our surroundings. Those around us need to be a little more vigilant. I think.
But this was a break-in, wasn't it?
Well,
at least that's what some of the press releases are saying.
I can't comment on a break-in or the dynamics of that yet. I think that'd be something safe for the chief to maybe give that more information on that. But I just think that the community needs to be more aware and be more involved in what's going on at the community-based level. I mean, you know, point in question, you know, we have enormous strains on law enforcement in Humboldt County. With that said, every county does. So we come to a tipping point of, do we need increased law enforcement and tools to assist law enforcement in dealing with these crimes? Now that the AB 109 and the shift of realignment of prisoners or inmates back to the counties, do we need to push the state for more robust construction of local jails in addition to those jails so we can hold more, you know, hold people longer or in better conditions? And we need to look at our drug policies. You know, are we being aggressive enough? We all know we have marijuana in Humboldt County. That's one drug, but there are plenty of other drugs that sometimes amplify the things that we're seeing. Are we aggressive enough, and where is the funding to help us go after those harder drugs that are really disrupting our communities?
You mentioned the tipping point. I've talked to a number of buddies today. Everybody was afraid of something like this, that it was going to take an event, a high-profile something event, before the community was motivated enough to do anything, to really buy into the fact that we are in trouble and we do need to do something. and what that was, you know, I guess time will determine. Do you sense that this was it?
I sense that it would probably add to that. I think I shared with you earlier that if the suspect had been someone different than who it is, it might have even amplified that. But I think there is some validity to what you just said.
KINS, News and Information, Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, so far in the show, we've talked a little bit about what did happen with Father Fried and some of the stuff that was going on. When your troops or anybody apprehends someone in a situation like this, I got to believe it's really tough for them just to apprehend them. You know, you hear about the old days.
Yeah.
Okay, things happened. And, you know, the accident, oops, I forgot to shove your head under the door. Sorry about right. that gash kind of thing. How do your guys keep the emotions in check? And they got them. There's nobody around. How do they keep their emotions?
Well, you know, there's always going to be those who are probably going to not agree with what I'm about to say. Let's put it that way. But you know, that's why we just do such an extensive background on all the officers, whether they're deputy sheriffs or police officers, as they come into the job, and we check their psychological, how stable they are, and the profiles, and it's very important that we bring the right people into the job. But you know, with that said, we all have a point sometimes in our careers where we have that check. And I can remember having that check in my career and saying, wow, that went way beyond what I thought it should be. And you have to have the ability to walk away and say, okay, you take care of it, buddy. You know, I got to walk away from this one. So we are human, but we also know that we're professionals, and we're supposed to act as professionals, and we're supposed to do the right thing no matter what the situation is. And I have to say that we have a great cadre of police officers and deputy sheriffs and law enforcement officers here in Humboldt County, and they do that. They do that day in and day out. Do we have a few here that slip now and then? Sure we do. Every law enforcement agency through the country does, but we deal with hundreds and hundreds of people every year. Every day we have an officer dealing with somebody on the street, and that speaks to their professionalism and their ability to keep their emotions in check, and that's what it's all about.
Did anybody have to push away from this one?
I'm sure that there were those that wanted to push away because of how horrific this was. Not push away in the sense that they were going to do something wrong, but push away the sense of, boy, this is more than I can, you know,
almost process.
Understand process at one point. I can remember having a similar thing years ago down in Garville, where I had a double homicide, and I had to go through the process of dealing with everything that needed to be done up to the point where I had everybody had the cavalry rolling there to take care of the scene. And then I had to sit down for 4 or 5 minutes and get my composure. My adrenaline was pumping so hard. So those are all things we have to keep in mind, that we are human too. And we have to be able to process this whole scene, the situation, but continue to keep our professionalism and do our jobs.
So what do you see now that will happen? Been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually will be brought to your facility.
Correct.
What do you do with someone like this that a segment of the incarcerated want a piece of, let alone a segment of the staff wants a piece of and the community also?
Right. Well, you know, we have a classification officer that classifies and places the individual based upon risk factors and those types of things. So I would imagine that this individual will be housed alone and will be put on a watch to make sure that there's no harm that comes to him, either by himself or by someone else, and to give him all the protections afforded by law for this individual. He'll be cared for as any other inmate, but I would imagine he would be segregated just based upon the circumstances.
So somebody like this, if there is a tendency for them to, let's say they want to try to hang themselves,
mm-hmm.
do you give them sheets? Or do you say, you know what, you're going to be a little chilly tonight?
No,
get a grip.
We make sure that they're cared for and that they're watched. We have, you know, we make sure that they're under constant surveillance and that no harm comes to them. And that, again, as I said before, they're afforded all the rights and privileges of anyone else that's in our custody and control.
The public reaction certainly is going to continue for a while. Do you have to have any concern that the public might act out against the individual?
No, I don't think so. I understand the emotions that are going on right now. I think I don't want to say that the emotion's going to go away. It's all going to calm down. Everyone's going to go back to their lives, and that's the end of it. That's not what I mean by any chance. That's not going to happen.
No.
But what I mean is I think everyone's going to have a chance, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, to process this and put it into perspective. They'll probably continue with the emotion that they're having, but be able to channel that emotion to the proper way it should be, and to show the support to law enforcement and to the DA's office and to those that are foisted with prosecuting this case, and turn that energy into something positive energy that can be helpful to, number one, make sure that this case is solved and the proper proper judgment comes down on it, and B, to maybe help with some solutions for the future, to where we don't have something like this happen again.
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, did this one get to you?
Yeah, I think so. In a number of ways, you know, just the shock of hearing about it yesterday morning, the notoriety of the person involved, you know, something that we hold sacred, I would think, you know, and just the emotion that came out of it, and the consequences for our community in all this. This is a high profile situation, you know. In my career, I've dealt with or been privy to, you know, I don't want to think of the number of homicides that I've dealt with over the years, but this one, you know, it hits really close. It really rocks the foundation of what we believe in as a community and what we hold dear as a community.
So what happens now?
So what happens now is we dust everything off. We try and get our lives back to normal, as normal as we can. We make sure that we take the steps necessary to seek proper justice in this case. We try to make sure that we ensure that this type of thing doesn't happen again. You know,
can we?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that earlier today. You know, there is that point of, well, is there too much governmental involvement, too much law enforcement? Is there a point where, you know, there's too much intrusion into our daily lives? I mean, we're a society. We're a free society. We're supposed to be a free society. So we have to make sure that we don't go overboard, but still provide the protections to the citizens of our communities. So we just need to be hyper-vigilant about that. Number one, to make sure we don't go overboard. And number two, ensure those protections to those that as a law enforcement officer, we're sworn to uphold.
May not be a fair question at this point, but is there anything that could have been done to avoid Father Freed being murdered?
It was such a random crime. In 100 years, I wouldn't have seen this coming. Obviously it does happen in other communities too, but not here. I just didn't foresee it. It's not a high profile person enough to someone who would want to do this. So I don't know what we could have done to foresee this happening. No one, I don't care who you are, saw this coming.
So it'd be really tough to prevent it again.
To prevent something like this again may not be so tough to prevent it again. I think, again, we've kind of got a little more of an awakening in Humboldt County, that we do have the propensity for the type of high-profile crimes that happen all across our country.
This doesn't happen in the country, though. Priests aren't taken out.
In the country?
Yeah. Your sense, was this a crime against a priest, or was this a crime against an individual?
I think it was a crime against... I don't think it was a crime against necessarily a priest. I think it was a priest that the crime was taken upon. I think it was an individual. I'm just talking from what I know. I don't think he was targeted because he was a priest. I may be proved wrong throughout the investigation. I don't know, but from what I know of it, I don't think that's the case.
Well, certainly a lot to consider, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We'll be considering this for a time to come.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you're right, it probably won't be the last of this magnitude. Maybe it will be the last for our lifetime.
Yes.
Well, I hope we have more fun to talk about next week.
I hope so.
And next month. And this isn't fun.
No.
Well, hang in there.
All right.
You're having to deal with it a lot closer than we are. But thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.